All right, we got a special treat today. I get the day off, amen? At least I have it, no. Denise is going to bring the word today. You know, we're talking about love, and I'll be honest, love is one of the hardest things I have in my life to preach about. I can preach about, anything, but this is a harder one for me. So she was sharing with me some things, and I kidded around last week about we couldn't preach together, you know. But she's going to bring the word of God today, and I'm going to talk about love, and I'm excited, you know, because she's very good at that. And if we was in a lineup, I wouldn't get picked. She would get picked. You know? who's guilty of love? I mean, she would be the one. So, amen.
Thank you. All right. Well, I am excited about getting to share this word. To tell you the truth, I tell them that I can preach only when I have a message. And it's something that God really touched my heart on when I was sharing with the kids for Valentine's Day. And then, because it's the month of love, right? Valentine's Day. So God revealed some things to me that it's taken 50 years kind of to get. And it just really shocked me. And it's really neat to hear his voice, you know. And I'd wake up in the morning and he would just say things and I'd get my phone out and start writing them down. Oh, that's really good. You know what I mean? So it was just really exciting. And then we did it at Moms in Prayer, and then having everybody, we share scriptures about love, and then everybody puts their little two cents in. So I'm taking notes on what everybody is saying, you know. And so it's just like love has been, the last 3 years, what God has been dealing with me on. And so I'm really excited to get to share with you today. So this is part two of building relationships together. But mine is taking a little different key to it, because it's not building relationships with each other as much as it is building a relationship with Him. And the key component for every relationship, of course, is love. But when you look at love in our world, most people go, oh, it's an emotion, it's action, you know, you show your love, you feel your love type thing. But if you think about our emotions are like a roller coaster and they're up and down, you know? And so we don't always feel love. And so one minute we're saying, oh, I just love everything about him. And I can be, I'll tell you, I was there with Brad. Oh, I just love everything about him. All the opposites that we are, it's just so, he just blesses my heart. Well, then I had to live with him. And then I started seeing that he wanted me to be like him. And poor guy, he's so organized. And then there's me, who's just like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh yeah, well let's just, oh yeah. And then everybody's running around Sunday morning trying to get ready, you know. And the chaos just drove him crazy, you know. So you just start going, I don't like him. And we did. We had a first rough year, you know. But it's okay, because we were learning how to love, and I'm so thankful that we didn't give up, because both of us graduated from Bible school, so you think we'd be better at this, right? After getting married and being in Bible school, you think, oh, they're good Christians, they're going to have no problems. Well, we did. And so love was something we had to ask God to help us with. We ended up saying, God, give us new hearts. And when we did that, we both bowed our knee and said, we need a new heart, God, we need a fresh start. That's when I started seeing the growth, and it didn't happen instantaneously. It happened, and it got better and better, further apart. Then we'd have our, oh, and then we'd get better, and it would go for a longer period of time. And now I can actually tell you that he is the man of my dreams that I dreamt about. And so you can see what the power of love can really do when you stay connected and you let it work, do its work inside of you. So we see that love gets thrown around really easy too, because I can say, I love chocolate, and then somebody will bring me fudge. And I go, oh, but I don't like that chocolate. You know what I mean? So our love has just gotten to be so common. You know, we don't know what real love, what true love is. And so that's why I want to go to the Word. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to do paraphrasing a lot of them. You know what I mean? So I'll give you the verse. You can write the verse down, and I suggest you do, because it's powerful to read it. But I'm going to give you clips of the verse and not read the whole verse, okay? But I want to look at the Bible, because the Bible has stood the test of time. The views and the values of our society, of our own personal lives, have changed. And they're constantly shifting and moving and changing. But the Word of God is solid. It is a rock. Amen. It is our anchor. Because it's unshifting, it doesn't change, and it has stood over 2,000 years of being the same, never changing, and always right. And so that's why we're going to look and we're going to build that foundation of what is love. So that's what we're going to see. What is true love? All right, so I want to take you to verse 1 John 4, 7, and 8. 1 John, I'll tell you, chapter 4 is a great love chapter. The whole thing is amazing. So take time, read 1 John 4. It's wonderful. But I'm just going to look at 7 and 8 right now. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So what we see just in that one little verse, love is from God and love is God. Now that is amazing, because how often do you really see love as a person? Love is God. So that's kind of a mind-blowing thing. So it's not just an emotion, it's not just an action, it is a person. All right, so let's just pray. Father God, we give you this service. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way over the word that's spoken, over our hearts, over our minds, over the hurts of every person here, Lord. We just surrender them. We ask for your power of love to come alive inside of us. We choose to yield to who you are, because you are true and pure love. And we thank you for your presence in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, amazing God is love. That makes love something so much more than a feeling, and it's really hard to understand it. It's hard to comprehend that. And so that's what we're going to keep doing. So when I say love, I'm really saying God, okay? So we're going to start at the very beginning, and we're going to build this. Genesis chapter 1:26 says, "In the beginning, God said, 'Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him rule over the earth.'" Now, I want you to remember, he's doing this, everything is perfect. God is perfect. There is no sin in God. So everything he does out of a heart of love. So everything he created out of love. And yet then he says, he takes it a step further, and he says, "I'm going to make you in my image, in my likeness. I'm going to breathe my breath of life into you." And then he says, he gives us authority. "I'm going to let you rule over all the earth." That's love. God is not trying to control us. God is just giving. Every person here was created from God's heart of love. Look around at each other. Do you see how we're all so different? Do you know, I mean, Brad, if he says, "That's good," that means, "Woo, that was good," okay, in my opinion, all right? But that, he's just not Mr. Emotional. And to tell you the truth, we need different types of people in the kingdom of God, because some are not going to respond to me, because I am like, get in your face, touchy, feely, all this kind of stuff. And I can be a little overpowering. Whereas Brad's kind of laid back. There's the quiet, reserved ones. But it's going to take all of us. And you got to see that. When I look at him, I'm seeing a different aspect of God than I have. God is so vast. He's so unique. Each one of us were created in his likeness. So it's okay to be different. All right? So that helps us out to see how special and what a gift and value that God has on each one of us. All right. So we see that we were created in God's image. But then something happened. Sin. Sin came in, and it ripped us away from God. It ripped us away from love. And God, it brought us confusion. We didn't know who we were anymore, you know, who we were really created to be. Because the devil comes in as a thief. And the thief is a liar. He deceives people, and he always wants to separate us from love. He always wants to separate us from God. So, what does Father God do in that case? He sends his Son He sends himself. He sends love in Jesus Christ to come down to the earth. Because he knows we're all sinners. We can't pay for our sin. Because with sin comes a penalty. And that penalty is separation, eternal separation from God. Now, some people go, hey, if I go to hell, we're going to party in hell. We're going to have a great old time. It's not how it's going to be. Can you imagine being separated from true love? What does that leave? Hate, torment, hopelessness. And that's exactly kind of how he describes it in the Bible. It's a place of torment, gnashing of teeth, fire. It's not going to be a good place. It's not going to be a party place. And you're there forever and you don't get out. But then God comes in and he sends Jesus. And this is what he says in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus took that penalty for us, so we don't have to be separated. And so love comes through again for us. God makes a plan, a rescue plan, because he loves us. So love comes and he takes the punishment for us. In Romans 5, 6 through 10, it says, God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Do you know, when we were sinners, we were enemies of God because we were choosing our own path and not his. Our ways are better than your ways. I'm going to do my thing. But that's not a good thing. Because we were not walking in love. We didn't even know what true love is. All right? And he saved us. He set us free. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone comes to Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. Do you know, that's exciting. What it's talking about, the old nature, our sin nature. When we come alive to Christ, our spirit man comes alive. And now that spirit is perfect. It doesn't have a sin in it. But yet we have our sin nature here that we've grown up with. And he's saying that old nature is no longer has to be in dominion over you anymore because I have made you a brand new person. This was one of the revelations I had through marriage, yay, was that don't identify with your sin as who you are. And that's something I try to tell my Wednesday night kids because I'll ask them, what are some things you're fighting against? Oh, I lie all the time. I'm angry all the time. I have anxiety. I am fearful. I said, you know what? Those are all sins. And that is not who you are. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, that is the old, and the old has passed. The old is gone. The old has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Not just covered, I shouldn't say that. They have been taken away. Amen. The power of it has been taken away. We don't have to have addictions. We don't have to have the bad habits. We have been set free from the power of that sin nature because of the love of God coming down and taking our place. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took that old sin nature on the cross, and he was separated from God. Can you imagine? He is God. That's all he knew was being God. Then he comes down in a man, and then he has to be totally separated from the presence of God. How gut-wrenching that had to be. But he took our place. He took our penalty so that we don't have to go to hell and be separated from God. And so I'm so thankful that his blood has set us free. He set us free from the devil's power, from the power of sin in our life, and from eternal death and separation from God. And then he gave us this new life. We have a new life. But unless you get into the Word of God, you're never going to know what that new life entails, what God says about you, who you really are. And so it's exciting. So 1 John 4:13 says, now that we've accepted Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, God wants his love to abide in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he gives himself again. He gave Jesus to come and take our sins. Now he's saying, I'm going to give you my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of you. Because he knows we cannot walk in the power of his love on our own. He knows that we can't be alone. We can't do this. We don't have the understanding. We don't have the willpower. We don't have the strength to do that. That's why he put his Spirit in us, because his Spirit is love. That means we have everything we need inside of us to be that overcomer, to walk in the power of love, and to be set free. So the Holy Spirit is just somebody that we need to connect with. I used to always think the Holy Spirit was just a power. He's a person. And that person of the Holy Spirit is somebody we have to build a relationship with. He says that he will be our helper. He will be our teacher. He will guide us. And he will be our comforter. Do you know, in this world, we're going to have a lot of tragedies. We're going to have some pains, and we're going to have some hurts. And he knows we're going to need a comforter. He knows that we're going to need somebody who's stronger than us, because we would be devastated. But that he would come in, and he would give us the victory and heal our wounds and heal our hurts and let us walk in love in spite of the hurt, pain, and the tragedies that we've faced. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, just briefly, it says, because of God's great love for us. I just love that verse right there. Because of God's great love for you. Okay. Get back to where I was. Because of God's great love for us, he has made us alive in Christ Jesus. He has raised us up to be seated with Christ in high places so that we can see the surpassing riches of his grace and loving kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God will never put you down. Everything he does is out of love. When tragedy, bad things happen, that is a bad devil or an accident on this earth because of the sin, because of the devil. God doesn't bring tragedy and those things to us. God is the one who picks us up, who lifts us up, who carries us. And he is the one who, he wants us to know that his grace, he wants us to see the riches of his grace, because his grace is what gives us the overpowering strength to defeat sin in our life. We can tap in to the grace and the riches of his grace so that we can have victory. But it takes building a relationship. It takes coming to know who we are and spending time with him. So this last scripture on what true love is, I wrote this out right before we got married, and I did it in the Amplified. And it's called the Love Chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I was just like, oh God, I just want to have this kind of love with Brad. And just, you know, just be beautiful, and we're going to just walk in such power and victory. Well, I'll tell you, after that first year, I called my dad and said, can you come and get me? You know, and my dad said, no, I'm not coming. I'm like, what? You know, so we worked it out. And I'm so thankful that he did, because I would have never tapped into the love of God. I was in my emotions. I was in my flesh. I was in my old nature. And I was going to let that rule and reign in my life. But when my dad told me I had to face it and deal with it, well, then God was the only other person I could call on. You know, I needed him desperately. So I always say, Brad threw me into the arms of God, you know. But I'm sure I did. I probably threw him into the arms of God, too. It goes two ways. All right, so let's read this. This is what love is. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, and does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogantly, or inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices in right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Now that is not man's kind of love. That is a God kind of love. How do you live that without having the Holy Spirit in you? We can't. Thank goodness he's given us the Holy Spirit to set us free so we can walk in true love. Do you know, we see Jesus actually did demonstrate this kind of love when he walked on the earth. Jesus went around and he was sharing the love of his Father, forgiveness of sins. He was sharing about the kingdom of God and that it's for everybody and that everybody is included. Nobody's left out. He shared the healing power. It says he healed all sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. Yes, there are demons and demonic powers going on in our world today. It hasn't changed. Just the same as the times of Jesus. And he knows that people get consumed and controlled by demonic presences, but he cast them out and he set people free. Amen. So we see the power and the demonstration and the compassion of love that God has towards us. And he revealed it to us. And he revealed that it's possible for us because we've got God in us. Point number two is love gives us a purpose. Knowing about God's love is powerful, but accepting and walking in God's love gives us purpose. I've heard so many people, a lot of Christians say, don't really know what my purpose in life is. You know, they could be a student, they could be a parent, they could be having just a regular job, you know, and they feel like, I don't really have a purpose. Because we're looking for something important, something impactful, something that we can do. And God says, I've given you a purpose. And it's so simplistic. And I'll tell you, this is a scripture that when I was in confirmation class in the Lutheran church growing up, I think I was 12 years old, so it was like 51 years ago, I chose this scripture as my scripture, because we all had to stand up in front of the congregation and share a scripture. And this was my scripture that I shared. And I'll read it to you, and then I'll explain. Mark 12:30. Now a scribe had come to Jesus. And a scribe is somebody who wrote out the scriptures. So he was in the scriptures a lot because he was rewriting all the scriptures, and so he was in the word a lot. So he comes up to Jesus and he says, Master, what is the most important commandment that there is? And this is what Jesus said. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And that scripture is the one I can remember standing up and saying, so I've known this scripture for a long time. And I feel like it's taken me 50 years to kind of get it. And I feel like I got the revelation that just this week, which is just crazy. Because our greatest priority, God is saying, should be to love him. Now, I can tell you about the love of God. I can tell you how I call on God all the time and say, hey, God, help me with this sermon. Lord, these people need prayer. We just are sending forth your word to heal them. Lord, I just thank you that Jesus has done all this for me. God, I'm doing ministry, and I just thank you that, I'm serving you. But we get caught up in all of that. But have I gone, hey, God, how you doing? Did you have anything you wanted to tell me today? What are you thinking? I want those moments. I heard Jesse DePlanis talk about his relationship with God. And he goes, God woke me up today at 3 a.m. and he wanted to tell me a joke. I'm like, I want that kind of relationship. I don't know if I'd wake up, but you know what I mean? But I want that kind of personal relationship. But Jesse DePlanis takes time and just says, hey, what do you want to do today, God? It's not like me saying, okay, God, this is what I have to do today. Da, 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 be with me, help me, da, da, da. You know what I mean? I'm not making God my priority. I'm asking for help, which is good. I mean, we need to do that. But he isn't who I'm seeking to love. I'm expecting him to love me. It was like a lightning bolt went off in my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, teach me how to love you. And I had that moment today. It was awesome. And I just started bawling. Because I was like, I was just laying in bed, and it's just like, do you want to tell me anything else, God, as I'm crying and stuff like that? And he goes, yes, wear waterproof mascara today. And I just said, okay, but I don't know where it is. You know what I mean? And you know what? I went in the bathroom. It was right there on the top. So I put my waterproof mascara on today. I want more moments like that, but you know what? It doesn't have to be moments. It can be a daily thing. It can be an everyday occurrence. It doesn't have to be a moment with God. And I want more of that. I want to learn how to love you, God. And when we do that, you think about it. God is love. What am I going to get back? I'm going to get back what he wants me to really accomplish. He's going to give me the purpose that I have. And then Jesus goes on. This man, the scribe, asked, what is the most important one? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say that. He goes on and he talks about the next one, Mark 12, 31. And it goes on to say, and I think that one is, okay, the second is this. You shall love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So to love our neighbor as ourselves. God is giving us our purpose in life. We want to be successful. We want to be the most gifted. We want to be the talented one. We want to stand out. And God gives us these gifts. He gives us the talent. He gives us jobs. But that's not the most important thing in life. Things are not the most important things in life. Family is not the most important things in life. Loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. That is what's the most important thing. I will be successful in everything else. And then it just overflows into loving others. Do you know how we get irritated with people? We're not walking in love. Because you know what? God goes, oh, that's my precious child. It could be a drug dealer. That's my precious child. I want him to come to know the Lord. The ones who irritate you the most are the ones you have to pray for the most. You know, that's when you see a difference. And I look at it and I think, you know, Jesus didn't come to just save the lovable. He came to save all of us. The liar, the thief, the murderer, the drug trafficker, even your sweet grandma or your sweet mama. But it doesn't matter because we've all sinned and we've all been separated and we have to pay that penalty, or we can take and receive the gift that Jesus has given us through his blood and receive new life so that the old one doesn't have to pay. The old is gone. So loving our neighbor. So we have to look and say, who is our neighbor? And I love it because he goes into this parable of the Good Samaritan. So you have this man who's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, some thieves come and rob him and beat him up, take all his clothes, leave them half dead and take everything, and they just leave them on the ground to die. Well, along comes a priest, and so you're thinking, oh, he's a Christian, he's a good guy. And he sees them, and he goes to the other side of the road to make sure he doesn't get too close, and he goes on. And then you have a Levite who helps the priests in the temple, and he does the exact same thing. And I've got to say, when I read that, I always thought, those people are terrible. How rude. Here, they're supposed to be the godly ones, and they're not even helping somebody. But then I found out, back in those days, if you touched a dead body, you would have to have 7 days of considering yourself being unclean, and you had to be set apart, and you had to do all these rituals to become clean again. So it was easier for them to go around because they didn't know if he was dead or alive. They didn't stop to check, but you know, they just went around. And so that made a little bit more sense on why, because it wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy, and it would have taken work. Plus, it would have disrupted their lives a little bit. So they didn't do it. Well, how many times are we like that? And then the Samaritan comes. And he sees them. He gets off his donkey. He bandages him up, gives him some water, puts him on his beast, covers him up, takes him to an inn, pays his own money to have him taken care of at the inn and give him food, and says, now, here's some money. I have to go, but I'll be back. Here's money. If anything else it costs, I'll pay you when I get back. So which one was the neighbor of this stranger? The Good Samaritan. And that is what God is wanting us to be, is that Good Samaritan. But we can't do it because life can be inconvenient. Love can be inconvenient, can't it? But are we willing to take the time? Well, if we're filled with God's love, it'll be a joy to take time. It'll be a joy to love who we consider unlovable. God's love will always equip us to love others, even when we don't think we can. Love is really, God's love always has a solution for every difficult moment of your life. His love will always provide a solution. Think about God's love now, right now. Let it just soak in that God is love. I look at our world and I see how we have pushed God out of our world. We pushed him out. Don't put prayer in school. Don't put a Bible in the library. Don't speak the name of Jesus. You can cuss and use his name and God's name as a cuss word, but don't tell about what Jesus has really done. We've had people try to take "And God We Trust" off our money. We have people wanting to take down the Ten Commandments in our courthouses. What's so wrong with the Ten Commandments? Don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal, don't get jealous over other people and envious. I mean, don't commit murder. That's bad stuff. I always wondered about this scripture, that in the last days, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. How can you call the Ten Commandments evil? That they're a bad thing. That's a sign that we've been pushing God out of our country, out of our young people. Our young people don't have an idea of who they really are. They have identity crisis because they don't have true love in their life. They are being, social media is bullying them, and you know, just all these things coming against them, attacks constantly. It's because we've pushed love out. What do you have when you push love out? I want to show you. Remember, I'm just going to read this one again, is 1 Corinthians 4:8. Remember, true love is, God is love, love is patient, love is kind, it's not rude, unmannerly, doesn't act unbecomingly, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, is not resentful, and it never fails. And that's just a few of them, okay? Well, Jesus demonstrated that kind of love for us again when he went to the cross. Here he was. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was laughed at. He was whipped till his body was raw. He was put on a cross, watched the guys hammer nails into his body, his hands and feet. And now, if anybody deserved to say something and cuss another person out, I would say that person, Jesus deserved to do that. But he didn't. They put him up on the cross, and you know what he says? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love.
Amen.
That love is what saved us. That is what love is. And when you see our world, it's division, it's strife, it's anger. There's so much crime being committed. And saying, oh, the poor people who committed the crime, the victim isn't the victim anymore. We have pushed God, we have pushed love out of our nation. And we need it back. And that's going to start when we love God, because he'll give us the power to love others. I look at Israel. Israel had this happen to them so many times where people thought, I can go my own way. We can do our own thing. We have our own thoughts. This is how we're going to do it. And there was sexual immorality. There was so much crime, so much dissension, people not getting along. Everybody hated each other. Everybody gets offended. And then when they repented and they got on their knees and they said, God, we need you. That is when love appeared and God turned a nation. Our nation's not lost. It's just waiting for us Christians to release the power of God's love, to bring his love back into our country, to bring his love back into our children. So I'm going to read this because God gave it to me this morning. And I'm not as familiar with it, so. The way to combat the direction our nation begins is by accepting the gift of love through Jesus Christ. We need to surrender to the power of his blood that gives us new life. God himself comes and lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. He empowers us and teaches us to start to walk in the power of his love. Now listen to the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to us, and this is the fruit, it's one fruit, of this Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Everything our nation needs is in the fruit of love, because it's only one fruit. Love is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, faithfulness, self-control. That's what love is. Because God is love.
Amen.
And so we just need that fruit to come alive back again. Loving God is the key and answer to our world's problems. There is a bad enemy out there, and I don't mean people. We've got to understand we are not fighting against people. We are fighting against principalities and powers of darkness, the devil and his evil ones. People are not the enemy. When we get mad at them, we're not in love because we're looking at them as the enemy. Remember, God demonstrated his love even when we were his enemy. And he died for us. So he died for each one of them. They are valuable. They are precious to him. He is the father. The devil is the father of lies. He deceives people and pushes them away from God. That's his whole goal, is to just rip people away from God, to rip people away from love. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He deceived Adam and Eve, and he said, oh, you can be just like God. He deceived them. He pushed them away from God, thinking, oh, we can be just like God, so we don't need God. You know what I mean? So that's what the devil does. But the Holy Spirit is the key. He is our key to how to make love come alive inside of us. It's building that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Love needs to be the foundation of our life. Through seeking love, we will find our purpose and our identity. By seeking God, we will find our purpose and our identity. Stop looking, stop looking at people as the enemy, the devil, brings our hearts, okay. Satan has come, and he wants us to see people as the enemy because he is ripping off our young people. And this is what I kind of went into before, is that he is distracting them with social drama, bullying, offenses, and steals their identity of who God has created them to be out of his perfect heart of love. God didn't make a mistake. He made you just the way you were supposed to be. All the more important, we need to pursue God. Love can push these lies away. God is love, love is truth, and truth will set us free. I just pray that, God, you forgive us. We have been seeking the wrong things when it's you who that we need. We need your love. We need to love you. Lord, we surrender our love to you, and we surrender our life to you. And we thank you for the free gift of your love, Lord. This world will pass away for each one of us, but we need to stand on the side of love. We need to build that relationship with you. So we ask you to come alive inside of us, Lord. We choose you. We choose love. We choose to build that relationship with you in Jesus' name. I just want every person who wants to surrender and commit to loving the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength to stand up. Because we're going to repeat this prayer, and we're going to just confess it out, and we're going to declare it. Okay? Maybe just have everybody stand up. That way then people don't feel like they're being... Okay? All right. We're not saying this by our emotions. We're not saying it by our feelings, but we know we need God. Okay? We desperately need his love. So just repeat after me. Lord God, I surrender my heart, my soul and my mind, and all of my strength to you, Jesus. I want to learn to love you as you deserve to be loved. I give you first place in my life. So fill me with your riches of all your love and grace. And let your new life come alive inside me. I want to value and treasure people as you value and treasure me. Holy Spirit, I need you. Don't let me fall away from love. In Jesus' name I pray.